We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for finding us today. We got Doran Dickerson in studio for another hour. Then he will host high school football on our sister station, KDK 100.1 FM. Who do you guys have tonight?
Central Catholic at NA, and I'm actually doing the color as well, and I'm excited about that. I want to get some practice.
Who's your play-by-play guy?
Zane Grilly.
Oh, you are in for a master's class on play-by-play tonight.
I really can't wait. I love doing that. I love being engaged in high school football, especially in this area. Prestigious Western PA high school football and two big teams. Art Walker's old team. Art Walker's head coach at NA going against Central Catholic.
Rivalry game?
It will be one. They lost, NA lost, or Central Catholic lost to NA in the Whipple finals last year.
If both of those teams took their best squad they could put together combined and then played Teal College, what would the score be?
Oh, that's a good question. It'd be pretty close.
I feel like they'd win.
It'd be pretty close because a lot of my buddies who I played with in high school went to Teal, and I know how good of football players they were. They probably wouldn't have started at Central Catholic or NA, and that's not a slight.
Well, if they're the guys I know, they sound like they're more prodigious drinkers than they are football players.
That's exactly what they were.
Thought so. It's time for our top-tier tweet of the day, brought to you by Top Tier Fuel at Get-Go. Poll question, 1,300 answers so far. Responses to this question: better quarterback, Big Ben, Joe Burrow. 57% say Joe Burrow. A guy that threw interceptions on back-to-back-to-back plays against the Bears last week.
See, the Tom Amansky of quarterbacking, back-to-back-to-back AAU National Champions.
It's the most interceptions Joe Burrow has ever thrown in a game at any level, he confirms.
Three.
Yes.
Well, this is because of the youth factor, right? I mean, who would you take right now?
Oh, I'm a
he's
big,
a big
Burrow guy.
If big Burrow believer.
You're the wrong person to ask.
If Burrow were a stock,
buy.
It'd be like what's the dog cryptocurrency?
Dogecoin.
I would be buying it all up. I'd be the Elon Musk of Joe Burrow stock.
Yeah, a little GameStop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AMC.
Did
theater,
you ever get
AMC.
In on that?
No, I got on an AMC and it hasn't really moved, so.
No.
I'm a little upset.
That sucks.
Some people made like life-changing fortunes on GameStop.
Yeah, yes, they did.
Didn't they shut down Robinhood because
yes,
of it?
Yes, they did. They yes. did that
That
too.
Was sort of a scandal, was it not?
Yes, it was. I think Craig tried to get in on that, but then we like turned him on to, you know, other ways he could try to
so
make
So non-biased of Ben, of your, I'm not going to say hatred of Ben, but of your negative outlook of Ben Roethlisberger, who would you pick, Joe Burrow or Ben right now?
I mean, I don't really think like it makes me a hater. Or with
hater, hater.
That's what I said, non-hater.
You're a hater.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't think it makes you a hater or makes anyone a hater to take a guy who's in his second year, who is, yeah, he's coming off a knee injury, but he was the number one overall pick.
You're a hater.
Thank you.
You're a hater. You're a hater.
You got any more from the big man? Any more good ones? Come on. All right.
What the hell does hater mean? Hater. You're a hater. Hey, you're a hater. What the hell does that mean? If you suggest that somehow you're a hater. You know, we're back to that whole concept again. You're a hater. You're not a hater.
Why is he trying to make a hater into something like super complicated?
We're back to that whole concept.
It's not a concept, Paul. It's just you're a hater.
He's making it sound like it's the theory of life.
Yeah. All right, you've got your big theories, Big Bang, and you've also got your hater theory. Theory of evolution.
Oh, God.
Anyway, no, I just think Burrow is better, man. He's much more mobile right now, even off the bum knee.
I don't know about that, dude.
No, even more so than Ben Still, even off the bum knee. He's not as mobile as he was before the knee injury, which is a big factor. But I like the arm talent. I like the makeup of him, the way he approaches it mentally. We know that's important. I just don't think it's like controversial to say, what is he, 24? He is a little older for his draft class. I don't think it's controversial to say a dude that's a Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick, who's 15 years younger than the guy he's being compared to, is somebody you'd rather have.
All right, to get off script a little bit, and we'll bring it
back.
Yeah,
but hold on a second. Hold that thought for a second. That's not what I mean. Everybody would rather have Burrow because he has 15 to 20 years of football left.
He's better right now.
I mean right now.
Better right now.
Right now.
He's better right now. Throws a better ball, I think, right now.
Doran?
To get off script a little bit, who would you guys rather have which receiving core? Cincinnati's or Pittsburgh's?
Very similar. I think Cincinnati's got better players, though.
I would say the Bengals because I'm a Boyd stan. I'm just such a big fan of his.
Ja'Marr Chase by draft stock.
He had another touchdown last week.
I know. Your theory on him is funnier and funnier because it's truer and truer that it was all a work. The dropping thing, that he was faking it with Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm starting to buy that. I don't want to get down into the muck on Pony's other big conspiracy theories. But
I like Burrow right now for one fact. I mean, we just talked about the offense of Matt Canada with Ben and how that probably wasn't going to go together and probably had different plans for Matt Canada's offense, and then Ben came back.
So I'm a little square peg round hole there with Ben.
Yes, I think that whenever Zach Taylor was hired, he knew what his offense was going to be and he knew what type of quarterback he wanted to have run his offense, and then they draft Joe Burrow, and that fits the system. So I think Joe Burrow fits his system way better than Ben does right now. And I think that they will figure it out as long as they go. They have a great receiving core, so I gotta go with Joe Burrow, even coming off the knee injury.
And that's a scary thought to me, is that, you know, we saw, you know, it was not a full changing of the guard in the AFC wild card game, because it's not like Baker Mayfield came in here in like the Oklahoma-Ohio State game where he like planted the flag in the field and said, like, I just beat your ass. Deal with it. Like, he was more lifted to that win by the fact that the Steelers just vomited on themselves with a bad snap and Ben interceptions, and they ran the ball so effectively. So it's not like Mayfield was the number one reason, but still, that was the first time Ben lost to one of these Heisman winning quarterbacks. He's never lost to Lamar Jackson. He beat the crap out of Burrow here last year. It was probably Ben's statistically his best game last season, and Burrow looked like he was Burrow looked like Josh Allen did in week one, where he was just under siege and under duress against the Steelers front and could not come up with answers, which, Chris, could happen here again on Sunday. Their line stinks. It's crazy to me how similar the Steelers and Bengals offenses really are right now.
I've said everyone, that all week. They're mirror images.
You said that?
Yes, I've said it all week.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah,
Doran, did you hear him make that point?
I heard him make the point today.
Okay, but not all week.
I said they are mirror image teams. Good receiving
cores. By the way, we're 20 minutes away from Doran's special guest.
Oh, I know.
Just wanted to let everybody know that.
I mean, I think you're saying it's scary because it's the first time Ben lost one of those guys, and you say Baker didn't like play his ass off and have to put up 400 yards. True, but Ben was bad. Baker was fine. More than fine. He was good. He took advantage of what was given to him. We've always assumed that the whole narrative about Ben and these younger quarterbacks is Ben has always been the trump card. Those guys have blinked. It wasn't maybe Baker outplaying him, but it was Ben absolutely kind of laying a steaming turd on the Heinz Field turf. I mean, you don't have to play like throw a 350-yard game
out
there.
I mean, don't you think the team that has the best quarterback generally wins the division?
Yes.
The Bills won the AFC North last year. Allen was the best quarterback. The Chiefs are dominating the AFC West. Mahomes is the best quarterback. Brady goes to the Bucs. They instantly win that division.
No, they didn't win the division.
I mean, well, that's a good point. But they went the far. They went the deepest in the playoffs of the teams in that division.
Yeah.
Who won the division?
The Saints did. The Saints actually beat them twice in the regular season.
And then they were beating them in the playoffs.
Right,
and then
that's right.
Can't ever count out touchdown Tom. I mean, bottom line.
Aaron Rodgers, NFC North. You know what? I mean, that's just
I think the Rodgers one's the best example because it's like teams that have been star-crossed at quarterback, and he had a Heisman Trophy winner in Stafford in that division. You know, if you have a really good quarterback like Roethlisberger has been the majority of his career, and the other teams continue to shoot themselves in the foot, that makes the advantage like extremely pronounced. Like usually with one of those guys, you have to come and take it.
Think about the Steelers Bengals dynamic. You know, when the Bengals made the playoffs for five straight seasons, the Bengals had a really good roster, but they just had an average quarterback in Dalton.
Right.
And then when they ran into the Steelers in the playoffs, they didn't have Dalton; they lost.
I mean, at the Steelers-Ravens. I mean, I know Flacco won a Super Bowl, so it's not quite fair. But in his early days, here's another guy, first-round pick, up-and-coming. Ravens had every bit as good a roster. Steelers would get by him because Ben would often make some plays, pull some rabbits out of hats in big games. I don't think he – that more than anything, it's not so much that the other guys are surpassing him. I just don't think he has that in his bag anymore.
Surpassing him in the level of play or just surpassing him in the level of being a very, very exceptional quarterback?
No. I don't think like the narrative right this second is so much that those guys are rocketing past him. It's that he has more lost some of the abilities that made him special, the mobility, the ability to shrug off tackles.
But at the end of the day, the biggest ability at the quarterback position in the NFL is your brain. And as long as you have that, you will have a chance. Yes, I get it, your arm. But as long as Ben has seen defenses a thousand times more than all three of those guys that he's playing against. I'll take Ben in situations more than those guys because he's just seen it so many times. There's nothing you could throw at Ben that is different.
Well, there's nothing you could throw at Peyton Manning, and he's on his couch now watching the game with his brother because he can't throw a football anymore. I mean, a brain does get you a long way, but it can still only get you so far if your body doesn't cooperate. And your body definitely doesn't cooperate when your offensive line is just getting knocked around like bowling pins and you're getting blown up on every play. And it's only taken four guys to do it. That's the worst part. You got seven dudes still dropping into coverage, which is making life a living hell for you. You know, I'll tell you what, I think the Hilton thing is a big deal for this game because they know him inside and out. And they know that he's tricky with the blitzes and everything. So to me, like for a young, inexperienced line, figuring out when he's going to rush the passer and when he's going to just turn into a conventional defensive back, I think messes with their mind a little bit in this game, don't you? I think that's why he was so good here. He's just an extra guy that you have to like worry about if you are an offensive coordinator and a quarterback.
Yeah,
what is this guy doing on every play?
He's an anomaly. So you have to have a certain package. Like if you're going to attack him and you're in the slot and you see him, if you can anticipate, if you're like Juju, say Juju's in the slot or whatever receiver's in the slot, if you can anticipate him blitzing, that's whenever you have to turn into a hot route because you're probably going to be open within the distance to the safety or you might be open even more.
But when you had a bunch of old fogey linemen, they probably would have a better read on Hilton.
But I believe that Ben could get the ball out quicker whenever you have a hot route and you could look back, catch the ball, and make a move and go, which is what he's probably best at doing right now is getting the ball out of his hands. I think that might fare for the Steelers if they can anticipate Hilton coming off on those blitzes.
We know Ben's going to go now because the practice report, he was a full go. So he's off the injury report completely. Deontay's out. Highsmith's out. Carlos Davis, I know we've all been wondering about him, out, and TJ's questionable. So Ben, the one half of the Ben-TJ equation has been solved, and it's Ben's going to play with that peck.
And it's evened out at wide receiver.
Correct.
The Bengals don't have T. Deontay. Higgins, and the Steelers don't have Deontay. So now went from 3-on-3 hoops to 2-on-2. It's Starkey and Muller versus Doran and Pony.
I think Washington will do decent.
I just want to see them.
He's just a guy to me at this point. He really is. They always like pump his tires as if he's something special. I don't see it. I think he's fine. I think he's an adequate NFL wide receiver.
Well, he's not 6'4".
And he's not playing Pitt anymore.
He's not shifty. Sorry, like Dorn. Deontay.
You know, you always have to have a dig about Pitt. Every time something.
It just annoys me that
even
they have
the jersey you're wearing right
It just
now.
Annoys me that they have two guys on their roster who are probably here because of what Oklahoma State did to Pitt. And I really believe that. I don't think James Washington and Mason Rudolph both get drafted by the Steelers if they scheduled Tulane instead of Pitt for those 2 years.
You really believe
Kevin
that?
Colbert's up there eating boiled hot dogs in that Heinz Field press box watching James Washington go for 300 yards against Pitt.
Yeah, I actually sort of believe that one.
I think if James Conner played at Cal instead of Pitt, he wouldn't have been drafted by this team. I believe that.
I also believe
I think
that
there's some home cooking with these guys, Doran.
Yeah, maybe the Connor.
I think they draft a lot of MAC guys because they're close to those schools. If the Steelers were located in Seattle, Washington, I don't think they're picking guys from Toledo.
Are they doing regional drafts?
Yeah, I kind of think they do sometimes, Malsey.
I mean, they do draft out of like Ohio State,
yeah, I mean,
Miami, you know, Florida.
Freiermuth's here.
Dude, Chooks is a Western Michigan guy.
All their
He's the MAC, Malsey. Return of the MAC, Malsey.
All their tight ends in the past 10 years have been from, what, Penn State?
Driving distance.
You have a point there. Huh. This is starting to make a little bit more sense.
They scout Ebron when he's with the Lions and the Colts.
They wanted to give you a look over, probably because they watched you dominate at Pitt.
Probably more at high school.
And high school.
I mean, I think that I definitely signed for 2 years with the Titans because Wisenhunt saw me play in high school. And Malarkey.
I'm imagining Kevin Colbert saying, let's bring Doran in.
Yeah, give him a chance.
I mean, I saw him with Bob Palko.
What we're really describing is if he's on the board, there's like a 99.9% chance the Steelers draft Joey Porter Jr., right? I mean,
You think Joey Porter's father, shot me in Denver? Joey Porter knows their reputation with drafting corners and tells like the Steelers, "You're not drafting my kid."
You know what? Absolutely not. I said I'm going to buy Burrow stock, but I will put this caveat on it: the Bungles are going to bungle. And watching them last week, I watched that game back this morning. I'm thinking,
well, their line
they might get him killed, and that might ruin his career. He's already
there's David Carr vibes for sure.
Really?
Here. I think so.
Wow.
Because I don't think he fully trusts that knee yet. And they got him out there with a bad line, and I just think that there might be.
How many times do you think he got sacked last year? 30 in 10 games, Dorn.
Oh. 32.
Yeah, 32.
Correct.
Because you said it.
Correct. I said
he said 30. You guys got it.
Gotcha.
Yep.
No, I know. He's already been sacked 10 times this year, leads the league. So he's played in 12 games, and he's been sacked 42 times.
How many times has Ben been sacked?
This year?
Yeah, this year.
Let's
guesstimate.
Two? Three?
No, way more than that.
Sacked?
Yes, I would say.
I'm going to say six.
He has been sacked four times.
Okay, I knew it was an even number.
So I was closer. Price is Right Rules. You guys lose.
We didn't announce that we were playing Price is Right Rules.
Steelers' offensive
line
is definitely holding up way better than.
I would not say. Well, here's the problem with that. He's getting the ball out faster than any quarterback in the league through two games
on average,
he's getting pasted.
Yeah,
still.
I would say, though, against Minnesota, Cincinnati, like, did more intermediate deep stuff, and against Chicago, it looked like they were scared to death to do it. It's like they were intimidated by the Bears' defense, which I think now that we've gone through the injury report, if Watt plays, there's the potential for that again on Sunday.
Although, I'll say this, Watt's the best player on this team, but the best chance they have to get to Burrow is right up the middle with Hayward. Is that Jonah Williams and Riley Reiff are, like, passable?
I don't know, man. I thought Jonah Williams got eaten alive on Sunday.
Swallowed by the whale?
Right. Are you excited for your special guest friend here in 10 minutes? Are you hyped up for that?
I know who it is.
Are you excited to live a little bit on the show?
Whenever you walked up, Malzie gave me a little.
Who are your top three?
Chris, are you serious? You spilled the beans?
No. Who are your top three?
Did he really?
Top three, Doran.
Top three?
Yeah. Who do you think it is?
Right now?
Yeah.
Tyler Palko.
Okay.
That's all you got, huh?
Tyler Palko.
Okay. Very interesting that you would feel that way.
I mean, it's somebody you said I looked up to for a long time.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you
to
text responsible Major Filippone, Chris Muller, former NFL tight end and Pitt All-American, Doran Dickerson in with us.
The atmosphere in the studio right now is both electric.
There's a palpable buzz.
A palpable buzz. There's for me, at least, and I think for Pony, there's not tension because we know who's coming on. But there is a sense of tension emanating from Doran. You're on the 93.7 The Fan live video stream. You can see this. The man is as locked in as I have ever seen him.
Yeah. Arthur Moat's going to join us in a half hour. But right now, our next guest, this guy has made a seamless transition from his playing days to now broadcasting. I've heard this guy do shows. He's so good, and we're so excited to have him on. He is known in Pittsburgh for quarterbacking a team to the 2008 and 2009 Big East Championship. Tony Pike is with us on 93.7 The Fan. Tony, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, guys? It's crazy. I feel like I never get as many opportunities to talk in Pittsburgh as I do in other cities.
I can't imagine why that would be.
Tony, Doran Dickerson was on those Pitt teams. He's always wanted to say hello to you. Doran, want to say hi to Tony for us?
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Oh, great. It's good to be here.
Tony, I was in the crowd for that game.
When Armin Binns got that tutter?
Shut up. Just shut up, Eric Dungy over there, your big Syracuse jersey.
Hold up. You know what? Is this Tony Pike for real?
Yes, it's Tony Pike for real.
Tony, you know, I did not know that you were coming on. They said there was somebody that I looked up to, somebody that I admire, that is coming. They would not tell me who was coming on the show.
Well, three touchdowns in 08 against Pitt to win the Big East Championship.
Yeah.
Does this count? Does this count, though, as you looking up to him? I mean, on the scoreboard, technically, and it hurts me to say that because
I mean, he
wanted Pitt to win.
Six.
That's true.
Dorn, you haven't talked to Tony probably in more than 10 years. Let him know how you really feel.
Since the Senior Bowl. We played in the Senior Bowl.
Okay.
What were those conversations like?
They're actually not that bad. And Marty Aguilar.
It was peaceful.
It was peaceful. I mean, I was upset. I think you could tell that. I'm honestly, Tony, I'm more upset now at these two because
we ambushed him, Tony.
We did.
We bamboozled
you
him.
You probably thought Wonstadt was coming.
That's exactly right.
Wonnie was his first guess. His buddy Tyler Palko, who he's known since they were like kids, was his second guess. At no point in time did the name Tony Pike escape his lips.
But usually because there's an F word in between your first and last name, Tony. We will get to some football talk here. Your thoughts on the Bengals offense, you break it down for a living. Are they doing enough to protect Joe Burrow? Give us your take there to start.
No, it's been really rough. And look, I think when you ended last season, or quite frankly, not even last season, go back to the Washington game where Joe Burrow got hurt. If you would have told Bengal fans then that followed this team closely that to start next season, Xavier Suofilo and Quentin Spain were going to be your starting guards, and really the only addition was going to be Riley Reiff, I think the fans would have revolted outside of Paul Brown Stadium. But we went through this weird offseason where, you know, the name Joe Tooney kept coming up. And then, well, Joe Tooney got paid by Kansas City, and the response and said, well, that was too much money. I'm glad we didn't give Joe Tooney that much money. And names came up, and then, you know, the Bengals really didn't make a move. And then they brought back Frank Pollock. They drafted Jackson Carmen. They drafted Deontay Smith. And kind of hoped that, okay, maybe that's enough to fill this void. And at the same time, you bring Ja'Marr Chase in with some talented skill guys around Burrow. And maybe from a schematic standpoint, you can scheme around a bad offensive line. And, you know, to this point, it's kind of been the worst of both scenarios. Zach Taylor's offense hasn't been able to scheme productive offensive scoring drives, and the offensive line is on pace to give up 76.5 sacks. Neither of those things are good in Cincinnati.
Hey, Tony, I remember the draft night questions, and I know you guys had just drafted Jonah Williams, who had, you know, missed time with the injury and what have you, but the big question was, should it have been Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell, who Detroit smartly moved over to the left side and he's now looking a lot better. What did Bengal fans want them to do with that pick with both of those guys available, to your reckoning?
It honestly felt right down the middle, 50-50. There was the group that wanted Penei Sewell and protect Joe Burrow. And, you know, I was a team Ja'Marr Chase guy to say, look, I saw what Joe Burrow excelled with at LSU, and that was spreading defenses out five wide, give him as many weapons as possible, expecting big things from Joe Mixon to come back. And to this point, even though Ja'Marr Chase has been great, 155 yards and two touchdowns through two games, the worrisome piece about the quarterback hits and the quarterback sacks certainly has a lot of people drawing back to draft night, which will be interesting when the Bengals face the Chargers later in the year, because two young quarterbacks, the Chargers decided to protect their quarterback with linemen, and the Bengals decided to try to surround theirs with skill guys. So it's fascinating to watch, but certainly not the start that a lot of Bengals fans hoped.
Tony, with you being a former quarterback, how can you fix a bad offensive line at this point of the season?
That is such a professional question by you.
I'm a professional.
And letting your bad memories put them on the back burner to ask a very professional-sounding question.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed by that.
Well, Tony is a professional. Tony is doing a great job doing the job. We're both doing the same thing now. So,
Pony, you're not going to survive this segment. Doran's climbing over the table. Yes. He's going to beat your brains
I'm not mad at Tony anymore. I'm mad at you.
that could have been very easily, you know, what happened from half one to half two against Pittsburgh back in 2009.
Oh, no.
We didn't even have to go down that path.
We didn't have to do it. I'm swallowing my pride right now.
We didn't have to go down. I like to – people bring that game up all the time in Cincinnati still. I like to tell people just fast forward to the second half because
– Tony, I didn't ask you this question. I didn't ask. I was asking about the Bengals.
See, now you're giving
about the Steelers.
Now you're giving me acid flashbacks, Tony, of Marty Gilliard. I'm getting pissed off. All right. Anyway,
Very, very simply put, for a scheme standpoint, to protect Joe Burrow, it's not just been the offensive line. Look, Drew Sample was a second-round draft pick by this Bengals team, and people wondered why, because he had a third, fourth-round grade, and the Bengals raved about his blocking abilities. The Bengals moved on from Giovanni Bernard, who was a great third-down back, and said Joe Mixon's ready to be the next guy. Well, flash forward to now, Drew Sample, I think, has a pass blocking grade, according to Pro Football Focus, of 40. Joe Mixon is south of 30. So it's not just the line. The running backs aren't doing it. The tight end group's not doing it from a blocking standpoint. So for Joe Burrow, for Zach Taylor, you have to start getting creative. You got to move the pocket. You got to sprint him out, get some misdirections, hit some easy crossing routes. Everything to this point just feels hard for the Bengals offense. And when you're not showing down the field threats enough, you get situations like last week where Chicago just going to sit in that 6 to 10 yard range and pick every underneath ball apart. So it's been made hard on Joe Burrow from the protection side, but in my opinion, it's been made hard from a scheme side as well of getting him some easy throws.
Former Cincinnati quarterback turned Bengals analyst Tony Pike's our guest here on 93.7 The Fan. Tony, I watched back that Bears game too, and one of the takeaways I had was, I'm not sure Burrow's knee is right, or I'm not sure in his mind he trusts that he's 100% healthy. You have the same take, maybe?
You know, it's funny. This week on the radio, I started asking the question, based on how Zach Taylor's been calling games, is Zach Taylor worried about the offensive line, or is Joe Burrow on some sort of pitch count?
Oh.
You know, we've heard Joe Burrow's healthy. We've heard he's ready to go, but at the same time, you can watch a game from last week and watch anyone you want to from last year. He just seems so much more confident in his ability to move around, make throws, step in and drive to throw. So I think when you come off such a devastating knee injury and you're not protected, some of that stuff really starts creeping up on you from a mental standpoint. And again, I go back to what I just said. I feel like that's why they need to do a better job of getting him easy completions early in a game so that he doesn't think about it. So he has confidence and, you know, he's not dropping back on 3rd and 10 for his first meaningful pass of the game. You got to find ways in those first 10, first 15 scripted plays to get Joe Burrow comfortable.
Tony, what does Cincinnati have to throw at the Steelers from a defensive standpoint so far this season? Because I look at the numbers, I see 10th in scoring defense, 6th in yards allowed in total defense, and that looks pretty good compared to what I'm used to seeing from them. So what are they doing on that side of the ball?
Well, they're finally getting after the quarterback in the pass game. This was a team ranked dead last in football last year at sacks. They've got after the quarterbacks in the first 2 weeks. But for me, it's been the run defense. This has been a team that's struggled against the run in recent years. And you look at the two backs that they've held in check weeks 1 and 2, Dalvin Cook and David Montgomery. That's not a bad pair to hold in check through 2 weeks. And they've done so by paying Trey Hendrickson. They re-up Sam Hubbard. DJ Reader's healthy. You have B.J. Hill, who seemed like the steal of the offseason when they were able to grab B.J. Hill for Billy Price with the New York Giants. Larry Ogunjobi, who's a guy that the Steelers have seen before because he spent time with the Cleveland Browns. They have depth on the defensive line. Logan Wilson looks like a young star at linebacker. And they've added guys in the secondary. Look, Awuzie from the Cowboys. Trey Waynes, although we haven't seen him much yet, Eli Apple is here. Obviously, Mike Hilton is the highest pass rush grade on this Bengals team right now because of what he does from the secondary. And they've got guys, Ricardo Allen, Von Bell, Jesse Bates. It's just a much deeper defense where they don't have the one or two standout stars, but from a cohesive unit, the average of these players is a lot higher than what it's been in recent years.
Tony, who needs this game more, the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Bengals? Big division game. I know it's early in the season, but who needs this game more as a team?
You know, it's crazy because there was a piece done this week about the odds of the next head coach to be fired in the NFL, and I was shocked to see Mike Tomlin at 18-1 on that list. But even more shocking, I think, was number one on that list was Zach Taylor.
Wow.
And I go back this year, it has been underwhelming from an offensive standpoint. From a culture standpoint and the team, Zach Taylor has done everything right. This team plays hard. But this is now 2 years and two games where this offense in 24 of the 34 games has scored 2 touchdowns or less. And it's hard in the NFL to win when you're not scoring. Zach Taylor was hired as this offensive guru under Sean McVay, and we haven't seen it yet. I made the statement this week, I think the most impressive game that Zach Taylor has coached as a Bengal head coach was his first game when this team went on the road to Seattle and almost came out of there with a win.
Yep.
That's it. And outside of that, look, he's won one road game in 2 years and two games. He has not produced. And when you have Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, you just got to – you can't waste the prime of those players waiting on a coach to figure it out. So there would be coaches lined up for the skill positions that the Bengals have at a young age. So I put this on the Bengals. I put this on Zach Taylor as his most important game in his Cincinnati tenure to this point.
Tony Pike, surgical when breaking down the Bengals, just like he was that December day at Heinz Field. Thank you, Tony. We really appreciate it, man. Thanks for being a good sport.
Anytime, man. Thanks, guys.
Anytime. See you, Tony.
Well, Pony, how does it feel to have just completed the last interview you'll ever do? Do you know what's the funny side note to that game, which still hurts me, Doran?
Oh, no, he's rubbing it in,
no,
Doran.
No, it's just the thing I think about when I think about that game is they would bring Caleros in a couple times in that game as the runner. And the only reason I think of Zach Caleros ever besides that game is that he became, on this station, the late night prank call guy of choice.
You know, everything you're saying right now is going in one ear and out the other for Doran.
He's just thinking about which hand is going to strangle you first.
It's like a homer on Bart Simpson.
I wonder how it felt for Tony Pike and his teammates to have their head coach leave him on the side of the road.
Oh,
like,
no! you should have asked that question.
Go in there and
he's
get
too much
totally,
of a pro.
Go in there and get totally mollywopped by Tim Tebow and the four Gators. I wonder how
you
that
showed
felt.
Remarkable
that,
restraint
that
to not ask that question.
Worse. That felt worse than us losing. We would have had a competent game against Florida. I can't be mad at Tony. He beat us. Like, it is what it is. But for you guys to set me up like that.
The Candyman's going to come out.
Guys, and you know, next month is the month of Halloween. Am I going to get you?
I can't wait to walk in my bathroom tonight.
Woo!
And I just turn on, I turn towards my mirror. I turn on, flip on the light, and there's Doran standing behind me going, "Hey, Chris, great interview with Tony Pike today."
With a hook.
He was a hell of a quarterback in college, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was good.
Yeah.
He got drafted.
I mean, that's a game.
I think he's doing, from listening to him today.
He's great at the radio.
He might be better than that, better at the radio than quarterback.
What is the?
love it.
I mean, I don't see that game as a Tony Pike game, the 45-44. That's a couple special teams.
All right, Chris,
teams
why do we need more breakdown of that game? He's the one that keeps going back to it now, Doran.
Was it Elijah Fields who dropped like a pick six or got tackled on a pick six or something that would have been before the half? That's the play I really remember. You weren't on the kick coverage team, though, were you?
No.
I didn't think so.
Doesn't matter. I mean.
Well, Chris did have, for this segment, he did have penciled in, ask Doran how he feels about Pitt's loss to Western Michigan. But I think at this point, that would just be piling on.
Well, Doran wasn't on the field playing for that one, so I think he's...
Yeah, but still, he's a proud alumnus. He's still a proud Pitt man.
I'm not a proud alumnus, but I am a big Pitt fan, and I'm pissed
about
it.
You had some very harsh words for Pitt on Twitter after that game.
You think?
You were none too pleased.
Well, I was honest.
And I appreciated it. I mean, I think
you know
a lot
who
of people did,
can't be honest
too.
About his favorite school? That guy.
Right.
What do you mean?
Can't. Maybe now he can, but he likes to act like Eric Dungy was walking on water up there at the Carrier Dome.
He's very naive whenever it comes to...
To what?
Syracuse football. You probably think Troy Nunes is the best college quarterback next to Donovan McNabb.
Troy Nunes might be listening, so be careful what you say about him.
The pride of Butler High, running that freeze option.
Anywho.
Anyway, yeah.
Chris, we were doing Take It to the House here, brought to you by Town Square, and you're crapping all over the sponsored segment that they have on the show.
Am I?
So I'd like for you to apologize to Town Square right now.
I'd like you to apologize to Doran for putting Tony Pike on and bait and switching him.
I've gotten a lot of...
I think I enhanced Town Square, man. I used the whole Marty Gilliard to the house.
True.
Take it to the house.
Yeah, Doran had the read taken care of
with
a self-effacing comment.
Rave reviews coming in. Even Pitt fans admitting that as much as it pained them to hear the voice of Tony Pike, expert analysis in that interview.
I would agree.
If you guys were the Bengals, would you have taken Sewell over Chase and gone for protection of your quarterback, your asset there?
Yes, I would have.
I think the quarterback had a say-so in who he wanted to pick.
Yeah, because they went to the same school. I agree.
Well, and Chase would have been the number one pick as a receiver, like the number one overall receiver taken last year had he come out. Yep.
All right, take it to the house. Anytime touchdown scores on the FanDuel Sportsbook, I will give you the betting prices. You tell me who you would bet to take it to the house in this game on Sunday. Ready? The odds-on favorites, Najee Harris, -145. So you'd have to bet 145 to win 100. Joe Mixon, even money, plus 100. Chase Claypool is next, plus 140. Jamar Chase, plus 155. Juju, plus 155. Tyler Boyd, plus 210. James Washington, plus 260. Best value play for Mulsey is?
You don't got a Freiermuth in there?
I do, actually.
Yeah, give me a Freiermuth.
Plus 350.
Yeah, give me that. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Why is that?
One, I think that they've got great – they have Jesse Bates, who's a great safety, who's a guy who could be matched up on him. But I do think the Steelers might be able to move the ball a couple of times. And I think if they get inside the red zone, it's either Juju or it's Freiermuth.
Do you think that not having Deontay Johnson will take them out of the three wide receiver set more and possibly give a tight end more of an opportunity too?
I wouldn't mind seeing that. You know what I think Deontay Johnson being out of the lineup is going to do? You want a bold prediction? I think Derek Watt is actually going to be on the field for offensive snaps.
You have lost your mind. Bold.
I think you're going to see Derek Watt on the field for some offensive snaps in this game.
More than 5?
Yes.
More than 10?
It'll be between 10 and 15.
You're nuts. Doran, do you think he plays one offensive snap?
I think he plays one.
I'm going to go with 0.
1 to 3.
Okay.
Unless, well, if they're in the victory formation, we can't count those. If he's out there for that, they don't count.
I think Derek, no, you know what? I'll go back. I'll say 5 to 10. 5 to 10 offensive snaps.
By 2 minutes from now, you're going
to
say 0.
No,
you're going to talk yourself out of it.
Nope. 5 to 10. I got a little ahead of myself with 10 to 15. 5 to 10 offensive snaps for Derek Watt, at least.
Who do you like from that take it to the house list there, Dorn?
Well, you didn't name him, and if Freiermuth's on there, I'm going to go with Eric Ebron because everybody's been bashing him all week.
And but that requires him to catch the ball.
He'll catch the ball. He'll score a touchdown in the game Sunday.
He needs to go find some of that like 1970s styled stick'em that Biletnikoff used to wear. He needs to go to, like, the Pittsburgh, like, sports museum and see if there's any of that lying around over there and put that on his hands.
Like, a hypnosis center or something.
You know you catch the ball with?
Your chest.
Your eyes.
Your eyes.
Ha!
It's his eyes. It's not his
Well, so he needs to go see a eye doctor.
How much of it's mental, though?
It's mental, but you need to keep your eyes locked on the ball. You can't, like, you can't even look to the left.
But don't you think he knows that? I mean, he's been dropping balls for...
Yeah, but you think that you can make a play. So, like, Chris Carter never looked the ball in. Never looked at it because he was that good. He would always look upfield, and he would look upfield and then catch it. You have to look the ball in and then turn up and make a field.
What did Fitz do? I always think of Fitz as sure hands. He was a lock-in guy.
Locked in. His eyes were always on the ball. They would get real big, and you could just tell.
Do you have good eyes?
Yes.
No glasses or anything?
Mm-mm. Oh.
Mueller has terrible eyes.
Yeah, congratulations. And I have the special kind of terrible eyes that very specifically can't get LASIK either.
I'll tell you what. Looking at this, I would be very, very tempted to bet James Washington at plus 260.
About him?
You just said that he was just a guy.
I
know why.
But I think Ben
loves
him.
I think Ben likes him too. But what's weird is that Ben doesn't lobby to get him on the field more. So that means he must really like Deontay, even though he drops the ball a lot, and he likes Chase because he's big.
Deontay hasn't dropped one yet this year, though.
I know, but I think in James Washington's case, the reason you would bet him is, what have the Steelers done? They have gone either real short, they haven't thrown intermediate middle balls, but they have gone down the sideline. And what did James Washington always do at Heinz Field in his one collegiate appearance?
Man, I am getting
mossed everybody.
Annihilated today.
But you weren't on that team.
Doesn't matter.
I'm gripping the
on a scale
Ryan
of,
Lewis's
on a scale
of the world
of 1 to 10, how annoyed is Doran, not with us, because I know that would be a 10, how annoyed is Doran with Pitt football right now? The whole
frustrated,
kit and caboodle.
Annoyed.
I mean, it's definitely hard for me. I try to keep my bias and my connection out of what I do for a living, which is cover Pitt and talk about Pitt. So I have two thoughts about that, actually. I have two sides of that.
And, okay.
You know, the analyst side, the one that covers, has a lot of faith and, you know, thinks that Kenny Pickett's great and going to lead this team and get some wins. Then the other side of the bias, the former player and wanting the program to do well, it is a little bit of annoying. But I was a part of that annoyance, too. So I take that all in one, and, you know, it's just pretty annoying probably being a Pitt fan in the last 40 years for everybody. So, yeah, I get
that's
it.
Pretty honest.
You want to get over the hump as a program, and I was a part of that, not getting over the hump. We just talked to a guy that ruined that.
But at least you got
The hump.
You got
he
to the hump, though.
No, that's
you
not
humped.
Enough.
You were on a hump.
Yes. But
this team is still far away from hump.
Right. That's why I said
they were the humpy, not the humper, though.
this team is far away, but there's a lot of games left, and they have a, you know, a veteran quarterback, and they obviously have a really good tight end, so I think they could.
Do Steelers cover the three?
Yes.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, mm-hmm. Route 19 South Hills. We'll let KDK TV take care of that. Doran, thank you for being such a good sport today.
All right, good luck.
Arthur Motes. Arthur Motes is with us next. Will we have an expatriate on to mess with him? No. We won't do that to Arthur.
We'll go the other way with Arthur and have Brett Favre on so Arthur can laugh at him.
Oh, mercy. All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.